Blessings Through Faithfulness, Elder Delbert L. Stapley, Delbert L. Stapley, Conference Report, October 1952, pages 121-124. My brothers and sisters, I have rejoiced in the spiritual messages of this conference. My faith has been stimulated. I have resolved to be more devoted and more diligent in my service to the Master. I do not want to take much time this afternoon, and the things that I had thought of saying, I think I shall reserve for some future time. I need the strength of the Lord as I talk to you for a few moments, and do solicit an interest in your faith and prayers. My brothers and sisters, this conference has been devoted to a love for and an appreciation of the great blessings that the Church affords to each of us. We have been challenged to devoted service and to live according to the standards, the ideals, and the teachings of this great Church of ours. I also hope we have felt the need of searching for the blessings of the Fathers, that those things enjoyed by the ancients may be restored to us and enjoyed by us in this the dispensation of the fullness of times. I remember that the progenitor of the great Israelite family was not satisfied with the conditions found in his homeland, and said to secure happiness and peace it was necessary for him to seek for the blessings of the Fathers, and the right to administer the same. He had been a follower of righteousness, desiring to receive instructions and to keep the commandments of God, and sought the great blessings of the priesthood, and to be a father of many nations. And as descendants of this great leader, we, too, should be followers after righteousness, and should seek to know the mind and will of God in order that our lives might conform thereto. I remember the great devotion of Enoch, who labored constantly and faithfully to perfect his people that they might behold the face of God, and enjoy his presence. He labored valiantly as a servant of the Master, and while many failed to accept the gospel message of salvation, there were many who did, and through obedience to the gospel, they were perfected, and were not only permitted to look upon the face of God but were privileged to dwell in his presence and became so sanctified that the Lord received them to himself. Moses, the great deliverer of the Israelites, sought through the holy priesthood and the gospel of the Redeemer to perfect and sanctify the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness. But they would not obey the great law of the gospel. They could not forget the idolatry and the flesh pots of Egypt. They sought to worship images and do things that were contrary to what God would of them do. And as a result, this great leader was unable to perfect his people to behold the face of their God as he attempted to do. Therefore God took Moses, the holy priesthood and the gospel, from the Israelites, and in the place of the gospel with its great blessings, gave them the carnal code of laws. The Savior came at the appointed time, and this carnal code of laws given as a schoolmaster to prepare the children of God for his coming, failed in its great purpose. But the Lord established his work called chosen servants to assist him in the service of the ministry, and as the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians, he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These devoted servants gave their time and talents willingly to the saving of souls, but apostasy crept in, and the great work of the apostles and others in a measure, was lost. They failed to perfect the people to behold the face of their Redeemer, and again in this day, the same officers are in the Church and Kingdom of God, and have the same commission of perfecting the saints and edifying the body of Christ. Now, my brothers and sisters, it seems to me we do have a great responsibility as members of the Church, for the Lord has placed upon us the responsibility of carrying this gospel message to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. I do not think we can accomplish the great purposes the Lord has placed upon us unless we perfect ourselves and sanctify our souls to enjoy the inspiration and the direction of the Holy Ghost, that each of us is entitled to as baptized and faithful members of His kingdom. I believe a bishop called to preside over a ward needs to perfect and sanctify himself above that of his brethren and sisters, otherwise he cannot give the quality of leadership required in his ward. I think that same principle holds true for a president of a state, and on up to and including the president of the church. I am sure that in our beloved president we have an individual who has well perfected himself, enjoys the love of our Creator, and is inspired of him in the great ministry and service he renders to his fellow men. My brothers and sisters, we need to incorporate into our lives all the refining influences of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is much that pertains to the gospel we need to know, and that we need to use for our own benefit and blessing. Not so long ago I heard a man excommunicated from the church indict the leadership of the church for their failure to teach the virtues of life as the cause of his downfall. Now, I am wondering if as leaders of this people, are we failing to teach the simple virtues of life that would prevent many of our brothers and sisters from going astray and doing things that cause them to fail to receive the great blessings of this church? We need to consider the principle of honesty. Our beloved president mentioned it in his talk to the priesthood last evening. We must be honest and sincere as a people. We cannot lie nor cheat in our dealings. We should not take advantage of our fellow men. We cannot receive something that we have not worked for and earned. As a people, we need to teach the principle of honesty. It is a virtue that makes for character and good Latter-day Saints. We need to be true. We need to be chaste. We have heard much said about chastity in the sessions of this conference. Now, my brothers and sisters, there are many other simple virtues that go to make up good character. Let us consider these simple virtues as important in the perfecting and sanctifying of our souls, that in obeying these divine principles we may perfect and sanctify ourselves not only to behold the face of God, but also to be worthy when He comes the second time to enjoy His presence and be with Him in the great ministrations that He has to accomplish among the children of men. We need also to consider, as parents and particularly couples of the age that can expect more children in the home, and also our young people who are anticipating marriage, when they accept the great responsibility of bringing children into this world, they cannot take the position that because they have gone into the temples of our God and been sealed by the power of the priesthood for time and all eternity, that is all that is necessary to assure to their children every blessing and benefit it is their right to expect. I would advocate that every Latter-day Saint young man and woman anticipating marriage, go into the temples of our God and by the authority of the priesthood be sealed for time and for all eternity. But I would want them, and I would want all other married couples expecting children into their homes to remember that they must ever be faithful to their covenants. I want them to remember that they must utilize their God-given gifts, these heavenly endowments of the Spirit, that each is blessed with, that when children come, they may receive all parental gifts and blessings that they should enjoy, and have a right to expect being born under the new and everlasting covenant of marriage. Now, it is important to us parents to remember our responsibility in respect to all of these holy ordinances and covenants entered into in the temples of our God. We must keep them sacred, and do nothing to violate the provisions of these covenants, otherwise the blessings that are pronounced upon us, and all blessings are predicated upon our obedience, will not be ours to enjoy, and perhaps we shall not bestow to our children the gifts and endowments they have a right to receive. And I know, that in addition to keeping sacred and holy these ordinances and being faithful throughout our lives, we must also develop the native talents God has blessed us with, and they can be developed in the service of this church. For if men and women will develop their talents, they have an opportunity of passing on to their children these great blessings and gifts of the Spirit. And so, when we consider perfecting ourselves and sanctifying our souls to behold the face of God and enjoy His presence, we must think of our children and their children's children. Parents who live righteously and develop every natural gift and talent through service are entitled to choice spirits from our Heavenly Father and have a greater opportunity to endow them richly with their own perfected qualities and virtues, which should assure their children a happy and useful life. My brothers and sisters, what joy and happiness would come to us as a result of our own righteousness? The greatest dividends we could experience would be ours, and these dividends can only come as we honor the holy ordinances and covenants that we have entered into. May we do this and be faithful and true in all our obligations and duties. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.